podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to your team news ahead of Game Week 9. My name is Az. It's been a while, Neil, but we're back with some team news. You must be feeling it today. It's been a lot of press conferences, right?
It has, yeah. It's been 16.
Whoa.
Yeah, we had four yesterday, so we have actually heard from everybody now. Forrest leaving it to the last moment, but we've got all 20 clubs updates, fresh off the press in most cases.
Lovely. Well, let's not beat around the bush. Let's get straight into it. Big game to start the weekend. Tomorrow, it's Arsenal versus Spurs. I've put Fulham. Don't ask me why. But yeah, talk to me about Arsenal and Spurs while I fix that.
Yeah, some classic kidology going on here ahead of the North London Derby. Conte laying down the gauntlet yesterday by keeping his cards close to his chest. Now, he basically acknowledged that Kulusevski was injured in a roundabout way. He said that he didn't want to give anything away to Arsenal too much to start with, but then went on to answer a question about playing five in midfield, so three central midfielders. And within that, he said that it's an option because of what happened with Kulusevski having this injury. So he clearly is injured. How long he's going to be out for, we don't know. Hamstring's been suggested, so that could be a few weeks. Lloris was acknowledged as one of the players with an injury as well. He came back from duty with France with a minor thigh issue. But Conte was hopeful on him, and I think he should be okay. Beyond that, I don't think we really knew about anything specific. Ben Davies, of course, and Lucas Moura had already been out, and they were expected to be close to a comeback after this break. Whether or not this comes too soon for them remains to be seen. But Conte keeping things close to his chest, as I said. And then Arteta's followed suit today, tit for tat. He was asked about Zinchenko, Tierney and Partey, who all either missed internationals with their respective countries or returned early. He said, firstly, that we've just finished the last training session. We had many players arriving yesterday, so we had a short period to prepare this match. The boys are looking in good condition. He was then asked about that trio I've just mentioned, and he said six words, they are part of the team, and smiled. So we don't know what that means. Does that mean they're part of the squad this weekend? Does that mean they're part of training? Does that mean they're just part of the 25-man squad named in September? Who knows? But I have seen Zinchenko in training, and Tierney's was a head injury, a precautionary withdrawal from the Scotland squad, and obviously the concussion protocol, I think, would have been served by that point. So they are minor in nature, all these problems. We do know that Smith Rowe is out. So this is good news if you're a Martinelli owner, as I am still. Smith Rowe is probably seen as not the only competition, but the main competition, I think, for Martinelli's place. Now, he's going to be out for, until after the World Cup in December. He's had groin surgery on this recurring issue, so he's going to be out for months. Elneny, of course, out for months as well. But apart from that, I think that is it.
Yeah. Would you say Arteta's becoming one of your least favourite managers?
I say he was doing tit for tat with Conte, but he's done this quite a bit before. He doesn't really give too much weight. And what we rely on more often than most is the photos from the training ground and reports of who's missing. So I'll definitely have my eyes peeled on anything emerging from the Arsenal training ground today, because I think that might be a better indication of who's going to be fit for the kick-off, the lunchtime kickoff tomorrow. So that is one good thing. It is the Saturday lunchtime kickoff UK time. So we might get a few early leaks on the team news front, but Conte and Arteta were no help whatsoever.
Excellent. That's a good start. I messed up
the screen.
We've got no good information. Excellent. I'm a bit worried about these screens now. I did do them really quickly because today has been carnage, as you well know. So yeah, hopefully no more mistakes. But if there is any, I'll fix them on the thing. Bournemouth Brentford next. Yeah, this one looks all right. Obviously not much investment in Bournemouth, although Dominic Solanke is picking up a bit of interest in the community. And then with Brentford, obviously, we've got Ivan Toney in a lot of teams. But what's the latest? Let's start with the home team. What's happening with Bournemouth?
Yes. The one essential purchase at the moment is Dominic Solanke, by the sounds of the Twitter community. he is... There's nothing mentioned on him in the presser. And in fact, it was pretty low-key from Gary O'Neill, who's still in charge. Lloyd Kelly's still out, the club captain. He's going to be no time frame on his return, actually. It's an ankle problem. Rothwell and Pearson getting closer. They've missed all this, I think, most of the season so far, all of it in Rothwell's case. Fredericks is making big improvements as well. And Brooks had been on the cusp of return, but he suffered a bit of hamstring discomfort, I think about a month ago, in an academy game. So he might be nearing a return again, but nothing sort of outstanding from the Bournemouth team news. As for Brentford, these were both yesterday's pressers. Norgaard, who's quite an influential midfielder, he's still weeks away from being fit. Keane Lewis Potter's out as well, so he picked up an ankle ligament issue with the England under-21s. And this is probably more significant. Ethan Pinnock is almost back. He's recovered from an knee injury. He's played in a behind-closed-doors friendly over the last fortnight. Played 80 minutes, I think, so that's nearly a full run-out. Frank did suggest he wasn't going to start just yet. He said that would only be the case if Brentford didn't have any centre-halves, which they do have. But he is the positional rival to Ben Mee. If you do own Ben Mee, and I know that he's not quite as popular as he was earlier in the season, but Brentford still got some decent fixtures. But yeah, Pinnock is the original left-sided centre-half from Brentford last season, and Mee's obviously been brought in to cover his injury a bit. So just a word of warning there if you own Ben Mee.
Yeah, I mean, makes him stronger defensively, so I guess Raya owners would be happy for him to be coming back. So, yeah, maybe Mee owners are not so happy. Palace-Chelsea next. First game in the Premier League. Good luck with that, Neil.
Yeah, this is really interesting. Well, a few sort of issues that we didn't know about or didn't think were as serious. So there's three players or possibly four players ruled out, depending on who you read in terms of coverage of the Chelsea press conference. So firstly, the feed went down. The live feed went down, so we couldn't see it. I have watched it back since, and he has ruled out Kante and Edouard Mendy, both of whom actually had been in training over the international break, and we thought they were fit, but not quite match fit enough for a playing comeback. Kante is not really in full training either. He's just been doing partial bits on the grass. Mendy's a bit further forward, but as Potter said, not enough to be involved at the weekend, so maybe next week for him. So we still don't really have an answer.
Yeah, we're not even really
who's going to be the number one.
I was going to say, we're not even really sure who's going to get the nod. Kepa looks more like a Potter-type goalkeeper, I'd say, but...
Yeah, that is what the consensus seemed to be, that his skills with his feet, I think, are better than Mendy's. And Potter does like a goalkeeper to distribute from the back. So, we won't have an answer. Even obviously, Kepa will play this weekend, but we don't know if he's is the bona fide number one. It gets even more interesting, actually, if you're owner of a Cucurella, as I am. And I thought, well, he's been one of the only ones who hasn't been away on international duty. He's guaranteed not to pick up an injury over the last fortnight. He'll be fine to start, absolutely nailed on to start against Palace. And he's ill. He's picked up an illness. Now, Potter didn't exclusively rule him out, not completely. He said, we've got a bill of illness with Cucurella and Carney, who's Chuck Wamaker. But the Chelsea side does rule him out. I think he's a 25% flag in FPL now, which I think is just sort of reflecting the tiny bit of uncertainty in that. But yeah, the Chelsea side does rule Cucurella out. Potter didn't quite do that, but said he was ill. And apart from that, everybody is fit. So it's just those four names I've mentioned there.
Have you done your predicted lineup for Chelsea yet?
No. I mean, it would have been, I wouldn't say straightforward, but it would have been heavily borrowing from that Salzburg lineup with maybe someone coming in for Azpilicueta, so one of Fofana or Koulibaly, because I think Azpilicueta, his pace was exposed again, and he'd be up against Zaha this weekend, and I'd be surprised if he sticks him up in a direct match. I'll talk you through the team. I mean, it's been covered on other podcasts, and I think including your own. It was a kind of 3-5-2 of sorts against Salzburg, so it was Azpi, Thiago and Cucurella as the three centre-halves. James and Sterling as kind of wing-backs, certainly kind of in Sterling's case. And then Mount, Jorginho and Kovacic as the three in midfield. And then Havertz supporting Aubameyang in attack. Sterling was as much of a wing-back as Trossard was at Brighton. Yeah. I'm sure you've mentioned this already. He was only on paper, really. He's more of a sort of inside forward. With James forming the four-man defence and Cucurella moving over to the left. So I wouldn't be put off with that necessarily with Sterling. That's probably what he'll set up with. I'm sure this weekend, because that was the tactics that were so successful at Brighton, and he continued those on this season. So I think that's probably what he will go with again. But it's just who comes in for Cucurella now. Does Koulibaly come in? He can't really play that hybrid centre-half left-back role, which Cucurella does. Does Fofana come in for Azpi? Does he play Chilwell? Does he play in a sort of standard back four? So there's a few more discussion points to be had, I think, because of Cucurella being out, and only because of that, because he was so integral to that 3-5-2 setup. So, back to the drawing board of the predicted lineup, because I think I was fairly confident in what I had originally, but a few more discussion points to be thought over now.
Get the bingo cards out for Crystal Palace.
Yes.
Because our favourite player is unfortunately still out.
Yeah, I think we're coming to the end of the period he was meant to be out, but of course, that doesn't mean anything. With Nathan Ferguson, he is still out with a foot injury, as is MacArthur, who's got a groin problem, and Jack Butland, who is, I think, nursing a hand issue. Tompkins is back in the squad, but this is all these are all names that nobody's going to be bothered by. Yeah, Ferguson, I think, was ruled out for 2 months, around about 2 months ago, so God knows where he is with his comeback.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, everybody else is, I think, in good shape according to Vieira. I think all the internationals have come back fine.
Excellent. They need to kind of start getting some points on the board, and their defensive numbers are appalling, the underlying stats. They're bottom for, I think, minutes per chances conceded and expected goals per minute over the season so far. So they've had tough fixtures, but they're going to have to improve.
Yeah, that's the mitigation. Mm. Yeah, the fixtures have been bad. Arsenal, City and Liverpool, I think they've played, so I'm sure those numbers will improve. Yep. Very much now.
Good. Next game, Fulham versus Newcastle. All eyes on Mitrovic. Is he fit? Mm. And will he score against his old club?
Well, a word of caution, that I haven't actually seen Silva's press comments all the way through yet. I've got the updates for you here. So the only names that we know are definitely out are Solomon and Wilson, who are long-term injuries, and Palhinha as well, who's suspended. He's been quite an influential midfielder. Otherwise, Marco Silva reported not.
Sorry, that's...
He has. He has. In not even 8 games, it's 7, isn't it? Because game week 7 wasn't on. Yeah,
that's quite impressive. Yeah.
Adam Smith from Bournemouth had racked up 4-4 at the start of the season, but he's not been booked since. So those three are out. Silva report knocks otherwise. So didn't say who they were. Now, we did see Mitrovic pick up a knock. That was, I think, last Saturday against, who was that, Sweden, where he came off with a knock, but then recovered to play on Tuesday against Norway. Now, after that match, he was pictured with an ice pack on his ankle and limping a bit away from the pitch. And this was in the, sort of, I think it was warm down or possibly media commitments. Now, an ice pack on an ankle is not uncommon. It's a very, very common post-match procedure for anyone who's had a bit of a knock. It's just a precautionary thing most of the time. It's to reduce the swelling. And hopefully that's what it is. I know, of course, we can't say that for sure because Silva hasn't given us any names or any sort of prognosis beyond knocks. So we can't be 100% sure that he's fit. But Silva did then go on to discuss about him. I think someone had asked him about will he be extra motivated for this game because it's his former employer's. Newcastle, and he said he didn't need motivation to face Newcastle or something like that. So whether he was suggesting that Mitrovic is fine and he'll play or not, but there is that tiny element of doubt. And it's, if you've not seen it, there is a clip on Twitter and elsewhere of him sort of hobbling slightly down the touchline with a big ice pack on his ankle, but that's as much as I'm going to scare you for now.
No goals against Newcastle in 3 appearances. So
that'll change. I guarantee that. Inevitable.
Yeah, I'm backing him to score this week. I think they'll patch him up, get him on, however they can. I can't see any way in which he misses this game. What about your boy? I mean, Isak's picked up quite a few owners and scored a goal and then injured again. Brilliant.
Yeah, story of our season, certainly the last couple of months, last couple of weeks. We've been getting players back and then other ones have fallen by the wayside. So Wilson and Guimaraes are back. Whether Wilson's completely fit enough to start, I think he probably wouldn't if it hadn't been the situation it is now with the other two forwards. And those other two forwards are Alexander Isak and Chris Wood. Isak's I think the prognosis was 3 weeks in the media. Now, of course, Eddie Howe doesn't tend to deal in time frames. He said he's already on the grass, so it's not as bad as what we feared. I think he's already out running. I do suggest he's going to miss out this weekend because running isn't training. So we think he's almost certainly going to miss out this time. But beyond that, it doesn't seem to be as bad as first feared. Could be game week. I think game week 11 was it marked as a return by other people like journalists and things like that. But Howe hasn't ratified that yet. So he's going to be probably out of this one. Chris Wood's a late fitness test, which is why Wilson might be fast-tracked back in the team. Same with St Maximum as well. He's had a hamstring problem and had a setback before the international break, but has since returned to some kind of training. And Howe said today that he's very close to a comeback. I think, again, bench duty at best for him. I think that's it. So, yeah, the longer-term ones like Darlow, Shelby, Kraft, they're still out, but nothing else.
Excellent. Liverpool next. Really looking forward to this game. Liverpool versus Brighton. Zerbi's first match. Again, interesting to see your predicted lineup for that. I have no idea what he's what he's going to do. Let's start with them. I mean, it's he's taken the reins and he's never played with wing backs before in Chishuahua or in the Ukraine. But I get the sense he probably will. But
I've just finished listening to his press conference. Actually, has and initially, first we all thought he was going to be. He likes this 4-2-3-1 that he's played in Italy and Ukraine. But he's just. I've listened to him what he had to say this afternoon, and he said he hasn't had enough time to sort of impart any new ideas. Most of them have been away on international duty, so he only had really 1 or 2 days of training. So he said he's not going to change much this weekend. So my initial thought that would be a back four is probably now being revised to how it was when Potter was here. So just for this week, if at least. Injury-wise or illness-wise, they're missing Mwepu, who picked up this illness over the international break and was hospitalising. He was quite badly ill in Zambia. We still don't know what that is. So he's out, as is Jakob Moda, who's long-term. But everyone else seems to be fine. Lamptey's trained. He came back early from international duty with a muscle problem. He's trained. Lallana's trained as well. He's been out for some time with a calf problem. Neither of those Zerbi thinks will start this weekend, but they could be involved in the squad.
Yep. And they're playing Liverpool. So, yeah, baptism of fire for the Seagulls. Liverpool got a couple of concerns.
Yeah, quite a significant one at left-back, obviously, with Robertson out, and he's still out. So previously he'd been ruled out until after the international break, which was obviously a bit of a vague time frame, but won't be fit for this one. Might not even be back for game week 10. Klopp said that it'll either be, I think, next week or the week after with Robertson. He's one of four players who are I think, red flagged with injury. So Keita, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Curtis Jones are the others. Calvin Ramsey's not quite match fit, so he's still red flagged as well, but he's injury free. Some significant updates which involve players who aren't flagged. So these are laid back from international duty or have been rested after international duty. So Darwin Núñez and Diogo Jota weren't spotted in training yesterday, but that's just because they've been given a bit of a breathe after representing their respective countries. Luis Diaz, I think, is maybe more of a concern for Saturday, I think, if you're an owner, because he just landed yesterday morning. So that was Thursday morning, I believe Klopp said. And he hasn't seen him yet, so he hasn't actually trained with him. He's going to train with him, I think, this afternoon, so it'll be now. That's one training session before the game. So I think Diaz has never present start of this season so far, but that could be threatened against Brighton with maybe Jota coming in down that left. It's great for Salah in terms of his involvement over the international break, because he not only had a bit of a confidence boost and was it a hat-trick? Was it a brace? I can't remember which.
Two, I think you got two.
A brace.
A penalty.
Yeah, that was it. And then he got released early just to go back because he just wasn't needed. It wasn't an injury or anything. So he's had a bit of a rest, which is good. As has Alexander-Arnold as well, which was widely discussed by Klopp today in his presser.
Yep, excellent. We're halfway through. Thanks everyone in the chat and for watching. If you are enjoying the stream and all of Neil's research into press conferences, do give us a like and do make sure you're subscribed to the channel as well. Just click the button just down there. It's a little thumbs up and hit the subscribe button as well. We really appreciate it. Moving on. Southampton, Everton. I don't think there's a huge amount of interest in this game, really. We'll start with Everton because there is a 4 million defender who has picked up a knock who might impact on a few people.
Yeah, more than a knock. He's out for 5 to 6 weeks. So this is Nathan Patterson.
Oh, that's a long time.
What did he do? Oh, it was his knee injury. Playing for Scotland over the last fortnight. And where does that... I mean, that may take him up till game week 14, I think, because there's obviously three in a row back-to-back. But that's a shame because I think he was just about to become the go-to budget defender, I think, over Williams and Emerson, because Everton's defence just looks a bit better than Forrest's, and he was guaranteed more minutes than Emerson. So, yeah, it's a shame for him and for us managers. He's going to be out, so Coleman comes in. I think Lampard almost confirmed that. Holgate, Townsend, Mina and Godfrey still out. Pickford's fit, so that he is someone who's some people are interested in, I think, in FPL circles. He's back from a thigh problem, so he'll come in for Begovic. And Calvert-Lewin, surprise, surprise, I think he's had a minor setback. So he was on the cusp of a return in game week 8 and wasn't risked. And then, again, now Lampard saying yesterday that they're only considering it and they have to make sure he's come back in the best fitness. And then I think since then, I've seen a report in, I can't remember where it was, suggesting he won't feature this weekend or is a major doubt. So,
oh, wow, okay.
It's Neil Maupay's shirt for the time being.
Yeah, excellent. Southampton, anything for them?
Very quiet. I don't think there's anything new. It's just the players who are out already. So Livermore is going to be out until next year. And who's the other one? Lavia is still 2 weeks away, or a few weeks away, according to Hasnell, but I think that's it.
Cool. West Ham Wolves next.
Yeah, I think another game where there's probably not going to be many goals. Pretty okay for West Ham, I think. Moyes not reporting anything serious from the internationals. And the two players who were flagged already, Johnson and Aguerd, have been back in some form of training. Johnson's obviously the closest. So it wasn't quite as serious as injury. I think he's been training for a week and a half, so he's not far away. Something to think about if you're a prospective Koufal owner, because he is the... probably the main competition, I think, for that right back / wing back slot. And they are in Europe, so there will be some kind of rotation involved.
Yep.
Yeah.
Back for him.
Wolves. Yeah.
Wolves. Costa, when are we going to see Diego?
Well, possibly this weekend. They're still without Jimenez, and they're still without the guy whose name I still haven't mastered, Kalajic, who's out long term. Chiquinho is out as well long term. And Nathan Collins is banned as well. That's been one of the forties this season. Their centre-half partnership between Collins and Kilman been very good. But he's now suspended for 3 matches because he was sent off against Man City. Yes, Costa. He wasn't involved in game week 8, but he has trained very well, according to Bruno Lage today. Still wasn't sure whether he was going to start or not. He said he spent a long time without training and playing, so there's obviously a little bit of a doubt there. But I think he'll be in the squad this time. He wasn't in game 8, even if we don't see him in the lineup.
Yep. Excellent. Big one. Big one next. Got the North London derby, but we've also got the Manchester derby. Man City versus Manchester United. Huge game.
Yeah.
Let's start with the home side. I mean, defensively, they've got a lot of options at a centre-back, but one less.
Yeah, and possibly one in, one out. Stones is definitely out, and he picked up a hamstring problem with England. It's not serious. Pep thinks 10 days to 2 weeks, but he'll be out with this one. Laporte is just about back. He's been training pretty much by himself over the international break because everyone else has been away. But he's been training for a while now, and Pep said he feels really good. I think he won't start this one. I'm sure he said something like he's been out for a while and... maybe isn't quite ready for that, but he's nearing a return. And he was, I think, the most relied upon centre-half last season. I'm pretty sure that was the case. And others rotated around him. So that adds to the mix at centre-half. And you know, when we could nail down, there's always been one centre-half a season where we would pick a Diaz 1 year or a Laporte another, Otamendi back in the day. And he would be the rotation-free route into that City defence for many of us. So that I don't think there is maybe not that is that now, because I got a Kanji, not just Laporte. Kanji's just come in. Diaz, Stones when he's fit, Ake as well. So they've got five centre halves for two positions.
Wow. Yeah.
So you can't even rely on a bedrock of the City defence at the moment until we've established who that is this season.
Oh, thanks for that. I've got Diaz, so
I think he's as close as we've got 2-1 at the moment. Yeah. But he's predominantly right sided and he'll be competing with Akanji and Stones longer term when Laporte and Ake have got the left side covered.
Just quickly on Haaland, obviously he's going to be captain the armband for a lot of people. A lot of people talking about his kind of desperation to score against United. I just found the quote from him. He was asked before the season when he signed who his most anticipated opponent was, and he said, "I don't even like to say the word, but it's Manchester United."
And he's up. I know this isn't a big issue, Lissandro Martinez's height, because he's proven time and time again. But there is a bit of a mismatch there, isn't there, with Haaland? He's such a dominant force. But he has pocketed him in the past, hasn't he, Lissandro? When he was at Dortmund, Haaland. So,
For all of Haaland's strength and height, heading doesn't really seem to be something he does a lot, right? Like even the goals he scored, he used his feet to score some very acrobatic goals.
So. I mean, obviously, must be worked on. They know what his movement's like. He's such a good striker getting that half a yard and just moving in front of defenders. So maybe they don't need that aerial trajectory on the ball. They just need to sort of whip it in into that space. And De Bruyne's crosses are tend to be flatter, than sort of looping aerial balls. I still fancy him in a matchup with Martinez as much as Martinez has proven in the past that the height thing isn't as much of an issue what people are seeing. And I think I'll be captaining him this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see. If Martins can come out of this, having pocketed Haaland again.
That's the end of that discussion.
That'll put it to bed.
Yeah.
Talk about Martins, talk about United. What have we got from them, team news-wise?
Well, a major boost in that Harry Maguire's out for United. he's got a hamstring problem, I think, picked up with England.
So mean, Neil.
I'm sorry. Yeah, he's kicking a man while he's down. apart from that, it's pretty good. Well, on top of that, it's even better. Martial and Rashford, who we thought were doubts. I think we'd just seen a report yesterday saying they hadn't been in training all week and then they were probably going to miss this. Ten Hag says today they have been in training and a late decision's going to be made on their involvement. So maybe they're not fit enough to start, but could be involved in the squad.
Excellent. Lovely stuff. Leeds, Aston Villa. Next, again, I'll start with the home team. Some good news for them for a change. First of all, we're always saying how bad Leeds are with injuries. I mean, there is still a few doubts, but they got two quite key players back.
Yes, they have. And the players who are out are kind of squad players to an extent. Maybe not with Stuart Dallas, but yeah, the three absentees are Archie Gray, who's a young attacker. Stuart Dallas, who's long-term with a knee problem, and Adam Forshaw, who's back-up in midfield. He's out with an ankle problem. So everyone else is fit, according to Jesse March. That includes Rodrigo, who's been out with a dislocated shoulder, and he was the sort of mid-price midfielder of choice for many weeks. Bamford's available, of course. He was on the bench in game week 8 and came on. Aylin's back as well, of course. We saw him previously. So he's competition now in left-back. Firpo's back as well at left-back. Cooper's back at centre-half. I'm sure there's others as well that I've missed, but yeah, they've got back a lot of players over the international break. And Marsh was saying that today that he's got a selection headache where beforehand it was just players picking themselves because of the absentees. So probably a bit of doubt if you're owning quite a lot of these players because you're not quite assured of game time a lot of the time. I'm sure Marsh has got a first 11 in mind, but we have got a few busy fixtures coming up the next few weeks, so maybe a bit of rotation there.
Yep. And Villa, no fullbacks.
So Cash is nearly back. He's in training partly, and he'll resume full training on Monday, but that looks like he's going to be out of this one. Pretty longer term than that. He's going to be out at least 2 weeks. And then after that, they're going to be sort of reassessing him to see how his heel is. It's his heel. That's the issue. there could be a situation where they assess him in a couple of weeks and he needs further action. So he could be out for quite some time. Boubacar Kamara's out as well. That's another big blow. He's been the only real sort of genuine number six, apart from Nakamba, who's definitely inferior to him. So he's now out until after the World Cup. So that's on top of Carlos being out, who's their first choice centre half, and marquee summer signing. So that is, you would say that's three of the first choice back, four of the first choice back five, if you include the midfield shield, who are out. So that's good news for Leeds. Cameron Archer's on the cusp of return, like many people's budget forward, if they still got one. So he's going to return to the squad, I think, either this weekend or thereafter. Had a groin problem. And I think that's it. Yeah, there was a comment about potential jet lag for Bailey from Gerard. He was playing in the US on Wednesday morning, early Wednesday morning. But he said that the Sunday fixture, it's a Sunday kickoff, so that extra day really helps with that. So it's Martinez and Bailey who are latest back. But hopefully that later kickoff will help those two.
Yep. Got a fancy Leeds in that, surely, of all those.
Yeah,
those
I think injuries. So.
Yeah. Cash is down to 4.6, by the way, which is hell of a price for him in FPL when he's really back. Yeah.
Really
cheap. I thought he was a good price at 5, let alone losing another 0.4 off the back of that. Okay, finally, Battle of the Bottlers, I call this one. Leicester versus Forest. Neither of them can hold on to a lead, or they both capitulate, given any kind of pressure on them whatsoever. Who's going to come out of this? Will either of the managers have a job afterwards? Who knows? It's going to be really interesting. Mark is going to be very worried, I think, going into this one. Let's start with Leicester, though. Danny Ward, he's the player on everyone's on lips. Is he going to start?
It looks it, yeah. Rodgers has been backing him up again today, saying he's got faith in him and all that.
He's the only one.
It's more about the collective effort. So I think he retains his place for now, despite the goal concessions. It's pretty quiet on the team news front for both these teams, to be honest. It's indeed, he should be fit. Came back from international duty with a slight problem, but he should be fine. Dennis Pratt's all right. Patson Daka was flagged with an illness, I think still is, because he just wasn't mentioned by Rodgers, and at least in the quotes I've seen. But I think Rodgers did say that everyone's come back from international duty all right, so by implication that means he's probably okay. I did see some people thinking about Daka for this run of fixtures that Leicester have got, because he's a cheap price, but you know how much Rodgers loves Vardy. I'd be wary about Daka's minutes, I think. Forest. Now, as I mentioned before, you never know quite what to believe with Cooper. He says that the only problem from the internationals is Scott McKenna, who came back from Scotland with an injury. But we did have Gibbs White flagged. We did have Dennis flagged. So by implication, that suggests that they're both fine.
I forgot they'd signed Dennis.
Yeah, we don't know whether that is the case, because Cooper is a very unreliable source. Take that with a pinch of salt. They did have a few other players who were on the cusp of a comeback, I think. So Mangala was nearly back in game week 8. Neil Carty, I think, had travelled over to Senegal before coming back in the last fortnight, so he could be nearly returned. And Omar Richards, who was the original left-back's wing-back signing, his original time frame of recovery is now up, but I don't know if he's anywhere close to return or if there's been any kind of setback. So they haven't actually got that many players definitely out at the moment, but that doesn't seem to be helping Cooper at the moment, because I think he's got that many options and he's still trying to decide on that best combination, like, particularly in defence. I think he knows roughly what his two wing backs are and his first choice front three, but I think he's still struggling for the right combination of centre halves, and they're just shipping goals for fun at the minute. Yeah. 6 goals conceded to the two sides who they've just come up with, Fulham and Bournemouth.
Oh yeah,
so true. It's not looking good.
No, it's a fascinating game week, isn't it? You got this match right down the bottom. You've got City, United, you've got Arsenal, Spurs, Liverpool, Brighton. I think it's going to be really interesting. It should be a really, really good weekend of football. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean it's an interesting one from an FPL perspective as well, because there are some, we've seen a lot of similar teams in the first 7 game weeks certainly, but I think since the sort of separation between Game Week 8 and Game Week 9 wildcards. And I know the wildcards are similar, but there's just now sort of splintering away from templates, and some people are saving it themselves till Game Week 13. So hopefully we'll get to see a bit of variety now after a pretty stale first 7-8 game weeks.
Yep. Neil, amazing as always. Thank you so much. Thank you everyone in the chat for watching. Do make sure you like the video and do make sure you subscribe to the channel as well. We'll be back next week ahead of game week 10 with the team news for that. And yeah, we're just powering through to the World Cup now. Here we go.
We are. And we might be doing we haven't discussed this yet, but World Cup team news video might be on the cards. We are going to bring back some predicted lineups for the World Cup this year. So
okay.
But I think we probably need someone more informed than me to cover the World Cup.
No, you've volunteered yourself. You're in.
I maybe have a struggle naming Qatar's first 11.
Oh God, yeah. Oh, that's the fun part, isn't it? Learning all the. I really enjoyed doing the content for the Euros actually, and learning.
Yeah, it's good fun.
I think you asked me to do some research on what was it, Ukraine and Sweden and some. Yeah. So I learned all about Malinovsky became my like. I was convinced he was going to like set the whole tournament light, and then he was rubbish.
That's the thing, because you're so invested in these teams for like more hours than what you should be.
That's it.
And you're convinced that you've just discovered a hidden gem, but more often than not, it's not the case.
Absolutely terrible. Right, excellent. Thank you. I will catch up with you again soon. And we'll see you all next week. Good luck, everyone, with your game weeks.
Bye-bye.